Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let us bring on now one of the true great people in the media in this city. From NBC Sports Philadelphia, our good friend Ruben Frank. Hi, Rube!
One of the truly great people in the media until I disagree with you, and then I'm a loser.
Yes.
Well, let's see how soon that takes there, Ruben. Rube, Chris Long.
I don't know how it works, Ange.
Chris Long, you knew him not only on the field but off the field. What was he like?
Yeah, he was genuine. And you know, the one thing that set Chris apart, he had very strong beliefs and opinions politically, but he would listen to anybody who disagreed with him. And I think that's what made him different than a lot of guys. You know, you get conservative guys in the locker room. You get liberal guys, progressive guys. Chris was so interested in dissenting viewpoints. I mean, he would, if he found somebody who disagreed with him about politics, whether it was a player, a teammate, a coach, a writer, he would sit and talk to you for half an hour about it and try to learn everything about your opinions and your beliefs. He had such a search for knowledge, such a thirst for it. And I think that's what really set him apart, and just how he backed up his opinions with action. I mean, he put his, you know, I mean, he worked so hard for so many good causes and, you know, literally put his money where his mouth is. And you got to admire that, whether you agree with him or not.
Rube, I'm fascinated by how political conversations would take place in the locker room. So you're there asking about a sack or something, and then climate change comes up. How do you make that transition?
Well, I think after a game, it's probably not, you're probably not like talking about climate change in the locker room after a game, but during the week, there's a lot of dead time. We're in the locker room for like an hour a day. Huh. So, you know, I mean, there's only so many times you can ask a guy, you know, are you guys going to get after it Sunday? So, you know, there's a lot of dead time to just sit and BS with guys. And he was one of the more interesting guys, as was Michael Bennett, who's also another defensive end who's gone. So, yeah, I mean, there's only so many ways you can talk football. So you have a lot of time to talk about other stuff. And Chris was one of the most engaging guys I've ever been around from that standpoint.
And an honest enough guy to imply to us, at least earlier this year, that he had been informed by Howie Roseman, by the Eagles, that his role would be diminished if he came back and that he had no interest in that. Why did the Eagles go in that direction?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think a big part of it is Derek Barnett. I mean, they think he's going to be, you know, a stud and a big time pass rusher. But I mean, they could use Chris Long. I mean, from, you know, with Michael Bennett and Chris Long gone, that's their two best pass rushers last year. You know, Brandon Graham's, you know, what, 32 now, and, you know, I mean, he's good for five. You know, I love BG, but, you know, he'll give you 5-6 sacks a year, and that's what he does, and great effort player. But they could sure use a Chris Long. So, I think his heart probably wasn't in it at this point. He's got so many other interests. But it is curious that if Howie really did say that, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, because I'll tell you what, other than Brandon Graham and Derek Barnett, they don't have proven pass rushers on this roster. And Derek Barnett, you know, he's only played, you know, about a year and a quarter in his career. So it's certainly a position that they could use some help. And Chris Long, I thought, had a really good year last year and a pretty good year in 17. From a football standpoint, they could use him.
Now, here's the thing, right? The timing of it, you're right, they lose Bennett too. The timing of it, he was informed of this reduced role right after they signed Vinny Curry. Are they prioritizing Curry over Long? Do they think Curry can give him more than Long?
I hope not.
Me too. That's what I'm saying. Rube,
yeah,
same thing.
I mean, Vinny's never been that. Vinny's had one good year in his career.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a 3-sack guy other than that. And I love Vinny. Vinny's the greatest guy. But, I mean, let's be honest. Vinny has not produced. He's not been a good second-round pick. And, you know, if they think Vinny's going to come in and do what Chris Long did last year, I just can't imagine he's going to do that.
No, I'm with you. All right. So, see, we're getting along here, Rube. I don't think there's going to be a problem today. Let's move on to the next big issue that we're a little concerned about is OTAs start tomorrow for the Birds. Are they close to losing Joe Douglas? Give me your read of the Jets wanting Joe Douglas.
Yeah, it's a natural fit. I mean, he's been rumored there. I mean, he and Andrew Gase go back a ways, and it would certainly make a lot of sense. I think that it would not be catastrophic. As much as I like Joe and admire Joe, and Joe's done a really good job here, they've built a really solid personnel department below him. I mean, with guys like Anthony Patch and Andrew Weidel, they have good people behind Joe Douglas. And I think the most important thing is how he understands now that he isn't, you know, he's not the guy who can do everything by himself, that he needs good people around him. And I think he understands that. I think he accepts that. I think he embraces that now. I think that's why he and Joe got along and had a productive relationship. And, you know, I think Joe's going to do well wherever he goes, but I also think it's not like this whole thing is going to fall apart without Joe Douglas. He's a good guy. He's a valuable guy. He knows his stuff. He's just a hardcore scout who just loves scouting. But they have other good guys in the department, and you know, the thing's going to keep rolling. I mean, that's the thing. It's not going to fall apart if Joe leaves.
All right. Now, I got to involve Keith Jones here a little bit because he's really going to school on Jets owner Woody Johnson. And Johnson said over the weekend that they need more than a talent evaluated. They need someone to manage the entire club. Right now, Jonesy, yeah. If you hear that from a Woody Johnson,
yeah.
That's got to resonate.
It can be hard on people.
It's hard on people. Here's the thing I need to know. Why the hell would Joe Douglas want to go onto that sinking ship?
Well, it's a fair question. I mean, you know, I think he knows that as long as he's here, he's not going to have final say over personnel. And, you know, I think everybody said, why would that guy want to go to a bad team? Because everybody thinks they can turn a bad team around. Everybody... You know, why would you go to a bad radio? Because you think you can turn around. You think I'm better than the people that did that. I can make this thing work where no one else has. And I think, you know, if you believe in yourself, whether you're a quarterback or a personnel guy or a radio guy, you feel like you can, you know, you can take something that's struggling and make it work. And I think that's what Joe Douglas believes, that he can. It's hard to imagine the Jets ever being good, but Joe Douglas, you know, if he goes there, he's gonna believe that. But I'll tell you what. He's in a situation now where, I mean, everything's in place for success for a long, long time. He's just not going to be the guy. And, you know, if that's what he wants, he'll stay here. But, you know, I think Joe Douglas wants to be a GM, and I think at some point he'll be a GM. It's just not going to happen here.
Adam Gase, the coach of the Jets, is a backstabber. Put that down. I wouldn't want to work for the guy. Let me move on to this is weird that I'm asking this, Rube, but it's actually a big thing to me. Tomorrow is OTAs. And I want to know if Carson Wentz is healed yet. It's been 5 damn months when they still had him on the active list in the playoffs. Is he able to perform yet? It's May. It's almost Memorial Day. Is he ready to play yet?
Well, you know, we'll know tomorrow. I mean, he's scheduled to talk to the media, which tells me that he's going to be participating.
Good.
You know, I mean, he's got a press conference. I think if he wasn't going to be throwing, if he wasn't going to be at practice, he wouldn't be talking to us. That's my guess. But I agree. If he's not throwing tomorrow, if he's not throwing this week, after all this time when they said he'd be healed, what did Doug say originally?
3 months.
Yeah,
three
max. Months,
right?
Yep. Max.
I think it's a red flag. It's definitely a concern if that's the case. Because, I mean, you know, this guy's got to prove that he's not brittle. He's got to prove that he's not injury prone. And that's what this year's all about. I mean, this year is, can Carson be healthy? Can he stay healthy? Because if he can, they're going to be good. Right?
Oh,
if he
yeah.
can do that, they're going to be good. But that's the big question with this franchise. And it's something that's looming over the franchise. It's something that has to be answered, not just over one OTA or one game or one month, but over a year and over a period of years. And that starts now. And, I mean, he better be out there. I think if he's not, it doesn't mean he's not going to play in the opener, but it's certainly a red flag if he's not healed after all this time.
Last one, Rube. It's a hypothetical. Carson Wentz has a brother, and his brother is knowledgeable in the art of quarterbacking. So this year he goes in the offseason, Wentz goes to Howie Roseman of the Eagles, and he goes, listen, I don't need any quarterback coach this year. I'm going to use my brother. He's going to come with me and we're going to work. This, of course, is the Ben Simmons model. Would the Eagles allow that? Would the Eagles go, that's fine, sure, use your brother, and that if he has anything different to say than our people, we, of course, would defer to your blood, your brother. Would they go along with that, Rube?
Yeah, I don't think they would go along with that. I think Press Taylor does a pretty good job as a QB coach.
Yeah.
Brought in by Chip Kelly, actually. The whole Ben Simmons and his brother thing, the whole Ben Simmons issue is it's getting away from the Sixers, isn't it?
It's stupid. They're letting him do it. The guy hasn't improved in a year with his brother. Why is he still there?
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously trying to keep him happy, but it's not a healthy situation.
Rube, we have disagreed on nothing. You have been brilliant throughout this appearance. Read them all.
I'll try harder next time.
NBC Sports Philadelphia, the magical Ruben Frank. Thank you, Rube. I agree with the guy. What they're doing with Long, it doesn't feel right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.